You are Locked On Giants, your daily podcast on the New York Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to our Friday edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, along with Pat Traina of Inside Football, The Athletic, Forbes, and a number of other publications. Patty, this is our first show of summer vacation, as they say.
Well, not quite summer vacation, but because we apparently still have some work to do. But yes, I know what you're talking about, and it's our first show without any football after, you know, a busy spring, a productive spring for the Giants. You know, basically a fun spring, getting to know the new players and the new faces, getting to see the coaches and what they have in store. So definitely a very whirlwind type of setup, and now we're into just some downtime.
Well, you know, Patty, you know, maybe football teams and football players take time off, but football writers and football podcasters never sleep. So we're still here churning out content for the folks.
Yes, we are.
So today, Giants fans, what we thought we would do is sort of look back at the spring practices, look back at the off season. Yesterday we did sort of a generic overview with some of our impressions of things that went on, you know, throughout the OTAs and minicamp. Today we thought we would do a sort of stock up and stock down, focusing on, you know, a few individual players that stood out to each of us throughout the spring. So, Patty, let's start with a stock up, and, you know, in the tradition of ladies before gentlemen, I will let you go first.
Okay, this is going to probably surprise a lot of people who might have money on who I'm going to say first, but I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball, and I'm going to go with rookie B.J. Hill as my first stock up. Realistically speaking, if I had asked you at the start of minicamp, if I had asked you at the start of the spring, do you think a third-round draft pick is going to push for a starting job? Would you have said yes? Probably not.
No, I would have said no.
Exactly. Yet B.J. Hill, you know, he was drafted as a defensive tackle. He's been playing on the opposite defensive end in the 3-4, opposite of Dalvin Tomlinson, with Snacks in the middle, when Snacks has been there, that is. And just he has looked so at home, so comfortable. And it's really exciting to see what this young man brings to the table. I think he's done, you know, he doesn't look like a rookie, at least based on what I've been able to see. Now, again, with defensive linemen, as with offensive linemen, you can't tell until they put the pads on. But I think he's off to a really, really good start.
Oh, Patty, you've started by stealing one of my stock-up guys.
Well, steal one of mine, then.
All right. But, no, what I will say about B.J. Hill is that before OTAs, sort of after the Giant, after the draft, I spoke to North Carolina State defensive line coach Kevin Patrick, and Patrick told me that he thought that if needed, you know, B.J. Hill had the athleticism to play on the outside in a 3-4, you know, but that he was probably more of a nose tackle, and that he thought he would be a good impact player in the NFL. I don't think any of us saw, you know, him as a starting defensive end. I think we saw him as a backup rotational player, you know, to help give Damon Harrison some rest. But he is very impressive, and perhaps a little bit more athletic, and maybe with a little bit more playmaking ability than any of us thought.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a great surprise, obviously. You know, the Giants scouted him. They did their homework on him, and that is a plus, because I know a lot of us wondered what they were going to do at that other defensive end spot. Were they going to maybe go with Josh Morrow? That was that, of course, you know, before he was suspended for the 4 games by the league. Were they going to go with Kerry Wynn? Were they going to go with, you know, Romeo Okwara? There was a question mark there, and I just think that it's great that they're getting, you know, one of their draft picks in there to fill a need so quickly, you know, especially a guy that you really didn't think was going to be ready right away for maybe as big of a role, but it looks like, you know, Hill is going to be ready for and be asked to take on that big role.
Patty, I think I will give you a stock up now, and for folks who have been, you know, following the OTAs and following the mandatory mini camp, I think this is kind of a predictable one. I'm going to give you cornerback Eli Apple, and I'm going to give you that for the simple reason that the young man's attitude seems to have done, you know, a complete about-face from a year ago. You know, when we had a chance to talk to him, you know, he was very accommodating. He was very straightforward about the mistakes that he made a year ago. He took responsibility. So, you know, the one thing we always looked for and always wondered about with Eli Apple was maturity. And I think this spring we've seen signs of it. We've also seen some signs on the field of him, you know, getting closer to being the kind of player that his talent says that he could or should be. During minicamp, I think he was guilty of a couple of holding or pass interference penalties. But, you know, with a couple of those plays aside, it's been an impressive spring, you know, for Eli Apple and a positive one, in, you know, for his development.
I agree with you 100%. And look, you got to give credit where it's due. Eli Apple at the end of last year, you really wondered about his future with the team. You wondered, would he be, you know, did he want to be a Giant? Did he want to be in the NFL? And, you know, granted, he was going through a lot of things personally with his mom. You know, hopefully his mom is in great health, you know, any problems that she had are put behind her, and that allows Eli Apple to not have to worry about that. And just to see the maturity and to see how he has bounced back and taken advantage of the clean slate that has been afforded to him, as well as all the players, really, with the current management regime, just, you know, I agree with you. Kudos to the young man.
All right, Patty, give us a stock down.
Okay, stuck down. I'm going to say Roger Lewis. And I'm going to say Roger Lewis because I know you and I were talking about this on the patio about how I think, what was the number, 50% of the pass targets he's been thrown to. He's caught maybe 50% of the targets thrown to him. But I think it also, in addition to that, he hasn't really gotten a lot of first-team reps, as I recall. I think guys like Hunter Sharp have gotten first-team reps, what with Odell Beckham Jr. sideline. We saw yesterday Khalif Raymond get some first-team reps. And I don't, you know, obviously I didn't keep track of exactly how many first-team reps everybody got, but suffice it to say, you wonder if Roger Lewis, you know, is he a fringe player? You know, just where does he stand, you know?
No, I would agree with that, Patty. I think you're right. We've seen Cody Latimer get the first-team reps. We've seen Hunter Sharp get some reps. We saw, I believe it's Amba Edetawu get some first-team reps yesterday. I can't recall seeing Roger Lewis get any first-team reps, and obviously, you know, those things can change once we get to training camp, but it does seem like he is falling behind a little bit, you know, in the battle for, you know, playing time and roster spots in that wide receiver competition. Patty, the stock down that I will give you initially is one that's a surprise to me and maybe one who hasn't necessarily done anything wrong, but I'm going to give you center Brett Jones. And I'm that for the simple reason that I don't think any of us really expected Brett Jones to have a serious competition on his hands, you know, for the starting center job, you know, when this offseason started. He played, you know, in my eyes anyway, he played very well, you know, last season, you know, once he was asked to step up and fill in for Weston Richburg. The Giants as an organization, you know, Dave Gettleman, Pat Shurmur looked at the film and thought they saw enough from Brett Jones that they didn't make a serious effort to keep Weston Richburg, you know, from hitting the free agent market, which he did, and he went to San Francisco. And now, you know, we see that that Jones does indeed have a serious competition on his hands at center, you know, from John Halapio. So, you know, I've been a little bit surprised by that simply because, you know, I think the thought was that Brett Jones was going to be the starting center.
I can't honestly say that I'm 100% shocked. I mean, I can see. All right, yeah, I guess I didn't see it coming, but in retrospect, John Halapio got some snaps last year at the end of the year. I think at guard, did very well with them. Brett Jones did very well at center. That, you know, he played several games. So I just wonder if it's a matter of, look, we know what we have in Brett Jones. Let's take a look this spring at what we have in John Halapio at that position, because Halapio hadn't really played center, you know, since joining the Giants. So maybe the coaches just wanted to kind of see what they had with him. And I do believe that whoever loses that center battle is going to be the first guy off the bench at guard and center. You also have that young man from what school is Evan Brown from? Is it SMU?
I believe you're right. Yeah, I believe it's SMU.
Yeah, I think it's SMU. So he's another guy who's an interesting prospect. But, you know, if you look at it, Ed, they really didn't have, you know, on the surface at least, if you looked at the roster before the start of the offseason, you said to yourself, well, they really don't have much depth at center. What are they going to do? And I think it's a credit to John Halapio because he has stepped up. He has performed well. And I sat with him today. I was talking with him today. And he said, look, you know, don't read into what you saw. He said, you know, sometimes there's more to what you're seeing. And this is also something that Pat Shurmur has said. So I'm just wondering if it was just an opportunity for them to see what Halapio brought to the table at the center position.
Could be, but we will find out, Patty. I think you want to go ahead and give us another stock up player?
Stock up, let's see. I'm trying to think of someone who's not as obvious. I'm going to say, I'm leaning towards Lorenzo Carter. I like what I have seen from him. You know, Again, draft pick, you know, a third rounder, I believe. I really like what I have seen from him. I think he's going to find his way into a lot of sub-packages. And I know on a previous show we were talking about, well, where's the pass rush going to come from? But there were times this spring that when I watched Carter, I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, he's got a quick first step like OC had. And I don't pass that compliment out lightly, you know. So I think, you know, I'm really excited about what Carter brings to the table. Still a little raw. He's still feeling his way around. But I think, you know, the arrow is definitely pointing up for him.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Patty. I'm very curious to see how much of a role that Carter has in this defense at the beginning of the season. You know, not to mention how the year unfolds for him. You know, folks listened to our show yesterday. They know that one of the things that I'm concerned about is that beyond Olivier Vernon, there really aren't other established, you know, pass rushers on this team. Kareem Martin has played some defensive end, you know, but he hasn't been a prolific pass rusher. There are guys, you know, from the linebacker position like like Alec Ogletree, who can provide some pass rush with the blitz. Landon Collins has done that, you know, coming from the safety spot in the past a little bit. And we know James Betcher has the reputation of being pretty creative. But still, there's no substitute, you know, for a guy being able to come off the edge and just beat that tackle or beat that defensive end off the edge clean, you know, and pressure the quarterback and, you know, and create havoc in the backfield. Carter is a guy who has the athleticism and maybe the potential to do that. So we will have to see, you know, if we'll have to see how much of a role he's ready for as a rookie.
For sure.
Patty, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was agreeing with you on that. I mean, I don't think you're going to see Carter, you know, I would be surprised if he ends up beating out Kareem Martin for the other outside linebacker spot. But, look, I mean, I think he's shown he's a fast learner, and certainly the arrow is pointing up on him.
Patty, a stock-up player who I will give you is going to be cornerback William Gay. I think that there was a little bit of maybe eyebrows raised, you know, when the Giants signed, you know, Gay as a free agent in the offseason. You know, he's 33. I think this is his 12th year in the league. The team that he had been with for 10 of his 11 seasons, the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, barely played him at all last year. And obviously, you know, the Steelers weren't real interested in keeping him. So you had to wonder, you know, does this old guy still have anything left? Because, you know, cornerback is a young man's position, you know, for the most part. But Gay has had a good spring. I don't know, you know, if in the end he'll win that slot cornerback job. It's been his mostly throughout the spring. He'll have some competition there from maybe Dante Dion and Grant Haley. You know, but he has shown through the spring that he does have a little bit left. And also I think that he is carving out a role for himself that the Giants hoped would kind of happen when they brought in, you know, guys like William Gay and Jonathan Stewart and some of these older veteran players, where he's becoming a real leader of that secondary group. He's becoming a guy who I think we saw the story from Dan Dugan in The Athletic about how he's been organizing some off-the-field activities. I think he was responsible, you know, for a charity activity that we saw Giants players and staff involved in yesterday. So he is simply becoming not only a guy who looks like he can still contribute on the field, but he is becoming sort of that veteran, you know, locker room voice, that leader that can really be, you know, a help to the Giants, you know, in the locker room as they try to come back from being 3-13 last year.
Agree with you 100%. And you know, I've said this when the Giants signed Jonathan Stewart and people were screaming about it. Why are they doing that? You know, why are they wasting the money? You're not wasting money when you bring in a guy who is a leader. Now, you know, does William Gay have, you know, anything left like he did, you know, when he was younger? Probably not. You know, I mean, the older you get, your role eventually changes, as does your skill set. But you have leadership. You know, this is a guy who replaces, for what it's worth, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, who was that longtime leader in the locker room. This is a guy who, you know, is going to give you whatever he's got. It may not be, you know, ideal all the time. It might not be, you know, it might be limited, but it's something, and every little bit helps. And you just can't underestimate leadership in that locker room, especially considering how the season unfolded and how the locker room began to splinter last year.
No, you can't, and that's why I've been so impressed by what William Gay has brought to the Giants. Patty, let's each do one more stock up player before we call it a show. To be honest with you, there's one player I'm surprised you haven't mentioned yet.
I've been avoiding mentioning it.
But I'm going to go ahead and let you give us your final stock up player, and I'm not telling you who to pick, but there is one I'm surprised you haven't mentioned.
I know. His initials probably are DW, right?
Yeah, we could do that one. Yeah, we could. But
yeah,
if you don't, we'll go somewhere else.
I've been trying to think outside the box because I think everybody knows that how I've been, you know, going on about how impressed I've been by Davis Webb. So I've been trying to go outside of the box, and I'm going to try again here. Let's see, who else would I give a stock up to? Saquon Barkley is too easy. I think Olivier Vernon is too easy. I got one here that we're in thinking outside the box. I'm going to go with Curtis Riley, a cornerback who is signed, who can also play safety. He's been working with the first team safety with Landon Collins, you know, sidelined for the team part of the drills as he recovers from his arm surgery. Curtis Riley is a guy that, you know, again, when he was signed, a lot of people are like, who's that? You know, what are they doing? And this is a guy, you know, when you talk about versatility, this is what Riley brings to the table. Now, again, got to get out there on the field and you got to show it in live competition. But the fact that the coaches have trusted him to give him first team reps with the safeties really speaks well to how quickly he has grasped the system and how he has been able to execute it.
Yeah, you know, Riley is a good choice, Patty, because I think that, you know, largely in the spring, all we can do is judge, you know, by the reps that guys are getting. And I have to admit, when, you know, the Giants signed Riley as a corner, I think he's a guy that had limited playing time the last 2 years in Tennessee. Obviously, the Titans let him go. The Giants sign him, and you just sort of lump him into that sort of, you know, bunch of bodies that the Giants collected at corner, you know, hoping to find a couple guys that would break through. And all of a sudden in the spring, we see this guy, you know, number 35, back there playing safety, and you're looking at your roster like, you know, who is 35, you know, getting first team reps at safety? And it's Curtis Riley, a guy whose history's been at corner. So obviously, you know, in the eyes of the coaching staff, this is a guy that they really like. It's a guy that James Betcher had complimentary things to say, and it's a guy who, you know, we've talked about that safety, you know, next to Landon Collins quite a bit. And right now, you know, he's a guy that you have to think is right there in the mix with a chance to be that guy.
For sure. I mean, you can never have too many good players on the field. And you know, again, we have to temper our enthusiasm because they were in shorts and shells for the spring. There was no contact, but the important thing is that these guys who got opportunities clearly showed the coaching staff that they were able to grasp what it was being taught in the classroom. Remember, all these guys are learning the systems together. You know, there's no guy who's really coming in knowing the system as, you know, inside and out. And that includes guys who might have played for James Betcher in Arizona or guys who might have played with Pat Shurmur in Minnesota. There have been tweaks and different wrinkles put in. So everybody's kind of starting from scratch. And this is where the cream rises to the top. And that's why you see certain guys getting opportunities that maybe other guys aren't.
Patty, the last stock up that I'm going to give you, you know, since Riley was also on my list, and I think it, you know, it becomes sort of obvious when, as you said, you think outside the box, away from the big name guys. But the one that I'm going to give you as my final stock up is wide receiver / kick returner Hunter Sharp. Now, he's a guy who came to the Giants last year toward the end of the season after all of those wide receiver injuries, and after the Giants had gone through, you know, guys like Ed Egan and Khalif Raymond, you know, trying to return punts and return kickoffs, and he had a little bit of success, you know, returning the ball, and maybe flashed a little bit of athleticism, but we didn't really see much of him at wide receiver, you know, and without Odell Beckham, you know, through most of the OTAs, Sharp is a guy who every single day it seems like he's catching a couple of balls from Eli Manning. He's making a play here. He's making a play there. And, you know, we still haven't seen, through OTAs, we haven't seen a whole lot of kick return kind of activity, kick or punt return. But you have to think that you know, somebody has to be the return guy. And you have to think that with his experience and the little bit of success that he did have at the end of last season, he's a guy who's got to be right in that mix. And, you know, to this point, you know, he's shown a little bit more as a wide receiver than I thought or than I knew was in there. So he would be my last stock up guy.
I would agree with that. I mean, you know, I wonder if perhaps they didn't do much in terms of kick return and whatnot because they're still trying to get their heads around the new rules. That could be something that they're just, you know, delaying, I would think. I mean, I don't know if that's be a fact, but that would be my guess. So when they do get around to eventually doing that, and they will during training camp, that's going to be an interesting battle to watch.
Sure it is, Patty. Is there anyone else, any other player or players that you really wanted to mention, you know, that we haven't talked about, you know, throughout the spring that you have some thoughts on, you know, heading into training camp?
Outside of the usual suspects, no, not really, because, again, you know, I believe that once the pads go on, that's where you really start to see what you need to see. And, you know, I will say this, you know, they got through the spring healthy. We don't know of any major injuries that developed. Hopefully there were none. You know, and that includes, you know, Nate Solder getting rolled into today. Yesterday. Hopefully that's not a major deal. I don't think it was. But that was certainly one of the objectives and something that, you know, I think bears mentioning. So, and that's a credit in part to the coaching staff for pacing things, for, you know, for not tiring these guys out, making them run laps when they screw up, you know, just little things like that. So I just think they had a productive first camp. I don't know, you know, Shermer seemed to be pleased with how things went, and we will see how everything comes together during the next stage of the activities.
I have to agree. It's been a productive spring for the Giants. We will see how that translates once they get to training camp. We have about 6 weeks until the Giants open training camp. I believe that's going to be July 25th. I believe the announcement that Pat Shermer made on Thursday was that rookies and a handful of veterans will report on July 22nd. In between now and then, Patty and I will be here a few times each week, continuing to talk Giants, to talk football, give you your football fix as often as we can. We thank you for listening, Giants fans, and we will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.